Shalom to all. Today's daf is about Zara Daf Chaf Vav, and we're starting a little bit into the Amud with a brand new Mishnah. And today's daf is sponsored Lila Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Bas Yakov Moshe Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And Mishnah tells us Bas Yisrael Lotis Yalat Es Hoyvedes Kechavim Bnei Shemiladis Ben Lavoides Kechavim. A Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman, a midwife in particular, should not help a non-Jewish woman give birth. She shouldn't help deliver a non-Jewish child. That's because she's being Yalat a child for idol worship. The fewer of the Kechavim in the world, the better. Avol, however, Hoyvedes Kechavim Yaladis Bas Yisrael, a non-Jewish midwife could help a Jewish woman give birth. Another din, Bas Yisrael lo sonik benosh al evetz chavim. A Jewish woman is not allowed to be the nurse wife. She's not a nurse, a non-Jewish child. Avol evetz chavim minik benosh al Yisrael b'rishusa. A non-Jewish woman is allowed to nurse the child of a Jewish woman. Rishusa doesn't just mean with her permission. That means if she's there, making sure everything's okay. Another more tells us Tanar Banu v'Braiso, which greatly explains this discussion in the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael lo tisyanus evetz chavim minishim ledes ben evetz chavim. A Jewish woman is not allowed to help deliver the child of a non-Jewish woman because she's helping give birth to a little evik chavim. Evetz chavim lo tisyanus Bas Yisrael. And a non-Jewish woman is also not allowed to help a Jewish woman give birth. That's because they're suspected of shvichas damim. We're afraid that the non-Jewish woman is going to kill the Jewish baby as he's coming out. That's our mayor's opinion. Where's the Chamar and the Chum say, and they're the town of our Mishnah. A non-Jewish woman is allowed to be the midwife for a Jewish woman. That's when there's other people there, meaning when there's other Jewish women there involved in the birthing process, because they're going to make sure there's no problem. But not by herself. It's not allowed to be just the Jewish woman giving birth and the non-Jewish midwife helping her. Rav Meir responds by saying that no, afilo cheres oimnis hagaba, even if there's other Jewish women there, namit still aser. Why is that? Dizim deman chole yad afusa, because sometimes she's going to put her hand on afusa. That's a very soft part that's at the top of a baby's head. The non-Jewish midwife is going to stick her hand there, viktale, and she's going to kill the baby, v'lemischazi, and no one's going to realize, because it's very easy to do that without anyone realizing, even if there's Jewish women there. And that's according to Rav Meir, it's aser for a non-Jewish midwife to deliver the baby of a Jewish woman, even if there's other Jewish women there. And what's his raya for this? Kehi etze da'amil chaverta. There was a non-Jewish woman that told another one, Melda Yudaisa, Bas Melda Yudaisa, you're a midwife for Jews, the daughter of a midwife for Jews. She was saying something negative about her, that you're always helping Jewish women give birth. And Amrullah, the woman responded, Nefishin Bishta Dahi Itza, terrible things should come upon this woman. Basically, woman two was telling woman one that you should have terrible things come onto you. Why is that? To come a spill nimi naihu dama kiufis denara, because I actually spilled her blood like the froth on top of the river, meaning even though you think that I'm a midwife for Jewish women, I actually managed to kill many Jewish babies. As our mayor shows from here, we see that a non-Jewish midwife is not trusted to help Jewish mothers give birth. Whereas Rabbanon, Amrulay, they respond to her mayor by saying, Loihi, that's not so. The non-Jewish midwife wasn't actually saying that she really kills Jewish babies, but Milsa Ba'amahuda Kimta, she's just talking and she's not really being serious about it. So there's no riot from there. We got the next one, Mishnah Basjolai say Nick, that a Jewish woman is now to be the nursemaid of a non-Jewish child. And here once again, we have a Brisa that brings us in more detail. Tanar Rabbanon, we have a Brisa, Basjolai say Nick, Benosh Lavez Chavim, a Jewish woman is now to be the nursemaid of a non-Jewish child, Mish Magadel is Ben Lavez Chavim, because she's raising a child for idol worship. And also, a non-Jewish nursemaid is not allowed to nurse the child of a Jew. Why is that? Because she suspected that she's going to kill the child. That's our mayor's opinion. And again, this is our Mishnah. A non-Jewish nursemaid is allowed to nurse the child of a Yid, as long as there's other people there, so she won't kill the child. But now she's by herself. Now, Rav Meir would respond by saying, even if there's other Jewish women there, Nami let still usher. Why is that? Because maybe she's going to rub some poison on her breast outside, meaning before she gets into the room to nurse the child, and she's going to kill the child like that, and no one's going to know the difference. That's why if there's other Jewish women there watching the non-Jewish woman nurse the Jewish child, it's still usher. And it's tricha, we have to have both of these cases, a non-Jew being the midwife and a non-Jew being the nursemaid. We have to have this machlekes, Rav Meir and the Chum in both of these cases. Why is that? If we only have the case of the midwife, I might say behikam rabbanan, that it's in that case rabbanan say deshar that it's permitted, doli asher that it's impossible for the non-Jewish midwife to kill the baby, mishum da cheres roi, I saw, because other people see her, al minika, but with a nursemaid, after the shayfa law samul dan me'avroi, because it's possible, even according to chachamim, that his non-Jewish woman is going to put some poison on her breast outside where no one sees her, uktale, and that way she's going to kill the child, ema mighty leil Reb Meir, you might say they agree to Reb Meir, and that's why I have to say that no, they disagree with him even in that case, and vishmi minika, if we only have the case of minika, the nursemaid, I might say, by hikam Reb Meir to asr, that's only over there, Reb Meir asr, jim the shayfa law samul dan me'avroi, because she's able to put this poison on the outside, uktale, and that way she could kill the child, afum yaledes, but in the case of a nursemaid, the lawyer, sure, that it's impossible to kill a child. If there's other people there, I might say the mayor agrees to Rabbanan in the case of the midwife, a non-Jewish midwife is allowed to help deliver a Jewish child. Tzricha, that's why we have to have machlekes over there as well, to say the Rav Meir argues the chamim. Ask the Gemara of Raminu, we have a stira. We have a brass that tells us, the Jewish woman is allowed to be the midwife for a non-Jewish woman if she gets paid, but not for free. So we clearly see that this is not like both Rav Meir and the chamim. It seems to be that it's okay for a Jewish Jewish woman to be the midwife of a non-Jew? So Rav Yisrael answers that no, Beschar Shari, the reason why she's allowed to do it when she gets paid is Mishum Eva, because of animosity, of hatred. If she's not going to do it, even though she gets paid, that's going to cause animosity and hatred between the Yidden and the non-Jews. That's not a good idea, and therefore she's allowed to do it. If she doesn't get paid, she could always say, look, I have to go work for my panasa. I have money to make. I have to support my family, so I'm not going to help you deliver your child for free. But if she's getting paid, so then she's allowed to do it. Now, so Rav Yisrael Meimar, Rav Yisrael want to say that Oilude Ves Chavim Shabbata Beschar Shari Mishum Eva, that a Jewish midwife is allowed to help a non-Jewish woman give birth even on Shabbos if she's getting paid, because this concept of Eva. Aramel Abayabai told him that no, Yachal Meibar in law, the Jewish midwife could tell the non-Jewish woman that the reason why I'm not going to do it for you, even if you're paying me, is because he don't mitzvah Shabbat mechalin alayu. That us Jewish women, that we keep Shabbos, we could be mechal Shabbos in order to help a Jewish woman give birth. We know very often helping a woman give birth on Shabbos involves chalal Shabbos. Whereas it chu, but you non-Jewish women, delay mitzvah Shabbat, you don't guard Shabbos, you don't keep Shabbos, let mechalin on. So we're not letting mechal Shabbos for you. I'm very sorry. And that's even if she's getting paid, she's allowed to say that. Now, Rav Yisrael Meimar, Rav Yisrael also want to say that anuki beschar shari mishum eva, that a Jewish woman nursing the baby of a non-Jewish woman and getting paid to do that is permitted because of Eva. However, I'm by I told you, Yosef, the Yachal Meimar, that the Jewish woman always had an excuse for the non-Jewish one why she's not able to nurse the child. If the Jewish woman is not married, so she could always say, I want to get married. If I nurse her child, that might decrease my chances of Shidduchim. And he should say, if she's a married woman, she could always say, I don't want to allow myself to get dirtied, so to speak, in front of my husband, meaning if I do this, it's not going to be pleasant for my husband, and that way she's able to get out of it as well, even though, again, she's getting paid. Here's our last discussion about this. So Rav Yisrael also want to say, that which we have a brisa, when we discuss at greater length, that non-Jews and shepherds of small animals, we're not allowed to take them out of a pit if they fell in. We have to let them stay there to die, but also not allowed to put them into the pit, which means we're not allowed to actively kill them. So suki bischar shari, to do this for pay is permitted. Why? Mishum Eva, because of Eva. However, I told him that no, he could always tell him, my son is on the roof and I have to quickly help him so he doesn't fall off and get hurt, and that's why I can't help you, Mr. Avik Chavim, that's in the pit. Inami, alternatively, you could tell him, Nikita Li Zimnul Bay Davar, I have a really important appointment at the Bay Davar, which if it's read differently, it could actually be read as Lebay Dayar. In modern day Hebrew, that means the post office, and obviously we're not talking about a post office here, it just means an important government office. So you basically get out of saving the non-Jew even by getting paid by saying, oh, I have to run to a very important appointment, so I can't help you right now. So therefore, all these suggestions of Rav Yosef turn out to be not so, even though the Yid's going to be getting paid for doing whatever he's doing for the non-Jew, he still could get out of it and doesn't do it. And now we focus more on this brisa. Tani Rabbeinu Kamid Rabbi Yechonon, Rav Tani brisa from Rabbi Yechonon, Ha'idu Chan V'Rei Behem Adaka, non-Jews and shepherds of small animals, Loi Malin, we're not allowed to pull them out of a pit. If they fell inside and they're going to die, we're not allowed to pull them out and save them. However, Chavav Bezatav, let me read in, we're not allowed to put them into a pit, which means we're not allowed to actively kill them or do something that's going to cause them to die. That's the balance, if you will, that we have to have in dealing with non-Jews and Rei Behem Adaka. Aval, however, Haminin, people are called Minim, and we're going to see exactly how to define these, and also Amaisaris, a Miser, which refers to a Yid that tells the non-Jews about other Yidden's money and has it taken away from him and gets him in trouble. Vamumarin, and somebody who's a Mummer, the rebellious, that could be a way to translate it. Haimaridin Valoimhalin, so these people, we could put them into a pit, we could cause them to die, and we don't take them out. In other words, if there's an opportunity to bring about their demise, we most definitely are allowed to do that, and we definitely do not have to save them. Now, Rabbi Yechon told Ravo, Anishaina, I've learned as follows, that the Pasuk says, L'chaved Zuchicha, for any Aveda, for any lost object of your brother, that's the Chiv to return a lost object. What do I learn from here? L'rabis a Mummer, to include a Mummer, that if you find the lost object of a Mummer, you do have to return it, and that's clearly not like this Braisa. And you say that we're going to be Myrid a Mummer, and we're going to actually kill him if we have the ability to. How can there be Chiv to return his lost object if you were saying that Myridin V'lay Malin by Mummer? So Rabbo says, you're right, Sa'im Mekan Mummer, take away the term Mummer from this Braisa. Ask the Gemara, V'lishni Lay, why not teach Mummer, keep it in the Braisa, and just explain there's a difference. Kan B'Mummer Eichlan V'Elsa Teyavain, Kan B'Mummer Eichlan V'Elsa Haches. There, Rabbi Yechon's talking about a Mummer Eichlan V'Elsa Teyavain. He's a Mummer who eats Nivelis, which is basically not kosher meat, Le Teyavain. It's just because he enjoys it, he wants it. He's hungry for meat right now, the only thing he has is Nivela, so he eats it. But if he has kosher and non-kosher meat in front of him, of course he would eat the kosher one. Again, the only reason why he's eating the non-kosher meat is because L'Teyavein, he's just hungry for his enjoyment, and so he's still somebody that you're allowed to return a lost object to. Whereas Khan, B'Mummer Echon V'Las L'Haches, over here in the Braisa, Revo, and we say that a Mummer is somebody who more mired V'Lay Male, that's a person who eats Nevelos L'Haches, just to get out of Hashem. He's just doing an open defiance of the Torah. If he has kosher and non-kosher meat in front of him, he'll dafka eat the non-kosher meat, and that's who the Braisa is talking about. Why can't we give that answer? So we answer, Kasavar, Revo holds that Echon V'Las L'Haches, Minhu, that's considered a Min, he's not considered a Mummer, and we already mentioned Min in the first part of the Braisa. So therefore, it must be that Mummer in the Braisa can't be Eichlan V'Elas L'Haches, and that's why in order to answer Seer for Rabbi Yechonon, we just take away the word Mummer from the Braisa. Now we can discuss this. Itmar stated, Mummer. This idea of a Mummer, this person who's rebellious, Pligi Ravacha Ravina, Ravacha Ravina argue about this. Chanam 1 says, L'Tei Oven mummer if he eats neveis latei avon, again, just for his own enjoyment, but not for any purpose, dafka against Hashem, so he's considered a mummer, whereas lahaches, dafka to get Hashem, if he has kosher and non-kosher meat in front of him, he's going to specifically eat the non-kosher meat, so min hava, he's considered a min, which is much worse than a mummer, whereas v'chanamer, the other one says, afil lahaches nami mummer, even if he eats neveis lahaches, dafka to be against Hashem, he's still considered a mummer, ela ezu min, so according to his madomer, what's considered a min, ze ha'oved alila kachavim, there's a person who serves idols, he's considered a min, but not if he's achon neveis lahaches. So now we ask on the first opinion, meisvei, we have a brass that says, if a person eats a parish or a yatosh, which is like a flea or a gnat or a mosquito, like a tiny little bug, a mummer is considered a mummer. Now, over here, it has to be he's eating a lahaches. It can't be that he's eating it for his own enjoyment, because how much enjoyment do you get out of eating one little mosquito? That's not like a geshmak steak, vikatani, but nonetheless, what does the brass say? Mummer, that he's a mummer. So it must be that Eichlin Veil's lahaches is a mummer. The answer is no. Hustle over there, by limitim time of the Isura, he actually wants to taste what the Isra tastes like. This fellow always wondered what a mosquito or a gnat or a little bug tastes like, and that's why he's eating it. So it's not considered lahaches. It is latei avoin, so it's not a question on the first man to Amar. We continue discussing the price. So our Amar was just stated before, hoy meridin avoloi malin, then the people that fit this bill, such as the avik chavim, we're going to be mired them into a pit, and we're not going to take them out. So the question is, hashta chus machtinon, if we're allowed to put them into the pit, asuki mibayid, do we even have to say that you're not allowed to take them out of the pit? Of course you're not allowed to take them out. If you're allowed to put them in, what's the chiddush to say that you're not allowed to take them out? So our Yisra Mercham, Rav Sheshis, he explains, loy nishcha, the whole chiddush is, shem ha'is a mala bar, that if there was a mala, there was some sort of elevated part of the bar that he stuck in, megarda, the yid is allowed to scrape it away, so now he can't climb up by way of this little elevation and get out. The yid is able to make up some sort of excuse why he would do that. Va'amar, he could say, I don't want my animals to go down by way of this elevation. I'm sorry, Mr. Avik Chavim, that you're stuck in this pit and you have this ledge that you could technically use to climb out, but I have to smooth out that ledge because I don't want my animals using it to climb into the pit and it's going to be too hard to get them out, so you're just going to have to be stuck in there. And that's what it means. Don't raise them up, meaning even when they got inside by themselves, they fell inside or whatever happened, and they technically have a way to get out, you're allowed to prevent them from getting out. That if this Avik Chavim fell into a well or into some sort of big pit, and there's a stone there that could be used to cover it, Mechasa, the Yid is allowed to cover it. Amar, because he could explain himself by saying, Lavur Chavasi Lavei, I want to bring my animals over it, and this way they can walk over the pit and they're not going to fall inside, and don't worry, I'll uncover it once I'm finished, and obviously he won't uncover it. And Ravina, Amar Ravina gives a different understanding, Shem Haya Sulam, that if there was a ladder inside the pit that the Naju could have used to climb out, Misalka, the Yid could just take the ladder away. And Amar, he could explain, Beino Lachusib Rimegra, I have to quickly take my son off of the roof, he's going to fall down, and I'm going to bring the ladder back, and he won't bring the ladder back. And now we go back to discuss machlekas or meir the chamim tanar banu. We have a brayso yisrael mal es avik chavim l'shum ger. A yid can give a bris milah to a non-Jew in order to make him a ger, a convert, and that's permitted. Now we explain what the chiddush is. Lafuki l'shum marna delay. This excluding a yid giving a bris milah to a non-Jew because of marna. That's usur. Marna is some sort of medical condition on the foreskin that requires it to be cut off. This is just a medical procedure. It has nothing to do with him becoming a ger. And if it's just for that, the yid is not allowed to give the non-Jew a bris. The brayso continues. Avik chavim loyam l'es yisrael. A non-Jew is not allowed to give a bris to a yid because he's suspected of killing him. Says a non-Jew is allowed to give a yid a bris. And there's other people there, but if it's just the non-Jew and the yid, so then he's not allowed to give him a bris. Now Rameir says, explaining himself, that even if there's other people there, the non-Jew is not allowed to give the yid a bris. Because sometimes he's going to tilt the knife a little bit and he's going to turn the yid into krus shavcha, which is cutting a certain gland on the yid's aver, is now going to render him unable to have children, and that's something that he'll be able to do without anyone realizing, even though there's other people there. That's what according to Rav Meir, a non-Jew is never allowed to give a yid a bris. So now the Gemara asks, "Sav Rav Meir, does Rav Meir really hold that a non-Jew is never allowed to give a yid a bris?" Rav Meir asks, "Steve from Brisa, Yerusha Imba Rafi Yisrael. We have a city that doesn't have a Jewish doctor, and they obviously don't have a mile either. Yeshba Rafi Kusev Rafi Avik Chavim, and there's two doctors there, a Kusi doctor and a non-Jewish doctor. Yamal Avik Chavim, while Yamal Kusi, the non-Jewish doctor should be the one to give bris milas and not the Kusi." Rav Meir, Rav Meir's opinion, and that's because Avik Chavim never give bris milas for their idol or for their service of their avodah zarah. Therefore, the non-Jewish doctor is able to give a bris milah to the yid, as opposed to kusim, who do that. They will give a bris milah for their idol. That's what Meir says. Better for the non-Jewish doctor to give a bris milah to the yid, because he's definitely not going to be doing it for his avodah zarah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, Yamal kusi v'al yamal avik chavim, that the kusi should give the bris milah and not the non-Jew. And we're going to soon see Shitas Rabbi Yehuda why that would be. Let's clear the Sira Meir. Then in his brass, he holds that a non-Jewish doctor is allowed to give a bris milah, but in the previous brass, we said he holds that a non-Jewish doctor is not allowed to give a bris milah. So Meir says, you're right, Epoch. Let's switch around their opinions. That it's really Rav Meir Eimer Yamal Kusi V'lo Yamal Chavim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Avik Chavim V'lo Yamal Kusi. The Gemara asks, how could you switch around their opinions? We start Rabbi Yehuda Avik Chavim Shaper Dami. Rabbi Yehuda really holds that a non-Jew is allowed to give a bris mila. V'atan you have a brayso. Rabbi Yehuda says, Menal Mila B'Avik Chavim Shi Psula. How do we know that mida a brayso a non-Jew is not allowed to give a bris mila? Shnei because the pasuk says, V'ata says Brisa Tishmar, and you, which is referring to Avram Avinu, you keep my bris, which according to Rabbi Yehuda means that only Yidden are allowed to give bris milah and not a non-Jew. So we can't switch around their opinions. It has to be that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a non-Jew is not allowed to give a bris, which means Rav Meir holds that a non-Jew is allowed to give a bris. So the Gemara says we're really just going to start the answer. We're going to continue it in more detail tomorrow. El Olam Leitepach. Really don't switch it around. And we'll go back to original understanding, like we had quoted previously, that Rav Meir holds that a non-Jew is allowed to give a bris, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that a non-Jew is not allowed to give a bris, and we're going to have to answer the steer of Meir on himself in a different way. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.